This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. And our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call or send us an email, but converse in our sports conversation today. We're going to start out talking with Darren Zwick, the head coach of Lansing Catholic Central. As many of you know in the area, Lansing Catholic Central is unbeaten. They faced a very big game tonight facing Williamston. Williamston in second place in their division. They're 1-2, so this will be a very big game for Williamston and for Lansing Catholic tonight. So let's bring in the coach, Darren Zwick. Coach, how you doing?
Hey, Earl, how you doing today?
Hey, doing good and glad to talk with you. As after we talked after the game Tuesday, your team certainly got your team on a good winning streak. They're just playing consistently well, aren't they?
Yeah, they certainly are, Earl. I'm very proud of really the effort that they're putting forth every night and the focus. They're just really staying in the present and looking at the next game in our schedule and making sure that they're preparing the right way.
Now, do you, at this point in the season, do you put some new wrinkles in your offense and defense, or do you just try to get kids to do everything maybe just a little bit better?
Well, I think, for us and our program, we really try to keep it pretty simple for these kids. So, we really try to master a few simple things instead of trying to be, maybe average or a little above average with a bunch of different things or putting in a bunch of different wrinkles. I think you always, throughout the year, especially on the offensive side, continue to try to add, a few new things that match your personnel. And as you see things develop with your players throughout the season as well, you maybe try to match a new set to their strengths. And so that's what we do maybe on the offensive side. On the defensive side, we really just try to really master a few key things.
Yes. Now, you have some players, like just most teams in the area, have some players who play football, some who play basketball. Do you look at them a little bit differently, the guys who really concentrate on basketball all the year long, and then you have those guys who it takes them a little while to get back their basketball legs. Has that ever been a problem for you?
Yeah, this year was a little bit different, obviously, with the great run that our football team made, and we had a lot of kids off both our varsity and JV teams that were part of that run. So, we got started about 2.5 weeks late, but we also had a good core group of kids, of which to build around until those guys got back. But I think kids, if they're good athletes, they can quickly move from one sport to the next, and it takes a little bit of time, but not much as people sometimes think, and we bounce back pretty quickly. And it's more so that getting the sport specific conditioning, for basketball, when they're coming off, let's say it's football or soccer or one of the other fall sports.
Yes, sometimes I think maybe you don't have this problem like some coaches do at other schools, but maybe you don't have that problem with egos and such. Some kids, when they're stars in one sport, it's hard to them adjust to not being a star in the other sport.
Yeah, I think that could be the case at other schools. We have a really neat group of kids. If you sit and just listen to them, they're really tight knit group, and there are no egos. I mean, you just see them all hanging out together, no matter what their position is on our basketball team. And of course, we have some good athletes. Cooper Rush, who's the Michigan high school football player of the year. And if you saw him in the locker room, he's probably one of the most humble, quiet kids in the locker room, which is really neat. There are no egos, and I think that's what makes us a really good team right now, just because we've got a bunch of guys that get along well and that want to compete and all kind of pushing towards the same goal.
Well, we know you got a tough game tonight against Williamston. Tell us a little bit about that game. How will this game be different from some of the other games you faced?
Well, this is always, a great game and something that I think both schools look forward to. We've had a lot of really good games over the last few years, and we got them the first time out at Williamston by 15, and so I know that they're going to be motivated to come over to our gym and put forth their best effort, and our guys are prepared for that. There's a lot on the line for us tonight, for this group of seniors in four in particular. It's a chance for them to earn their third straight league title. It's a chance for our program to earn our sixth straight league title. So they really want to win this game tonight and win that title outright, and that's what we're shooting for.
When kids start to get on a roll and win the division titles and such, is that put, I guess they put pressure on the underclass to do the same thing to keep it going. Have your kids been doing that? Every class that says, hey, we did it, now it's your turn to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it goes back to that first one. And ever since then, I think every single class, especially your senior classes, are really motivated, saying, "Hey, you know, we want to keep this string going, and continue to leave a legacy here." And then it does really, I think, motivate the younger kids too, saying, "Hey, you know, we want to keep this string alive as well, and we want to work to get better and keep winning championships." And it to me, it really kind of breeds a strong basketball program and helps with motivation.
Now, the district will be coming up soon, and of course, you know, you got the big bad wolf, Lansing Sexton, waiting there, who everyone believes has a great chance of winning a second state title, and of course, you've got to try to down them. Boy, when you look at a team like that and how big and strong and physical they are, and they've got so many players with Division I offers, you know, how would you imagine to when you get to that point where you're going to have to face them?
Well, yeah, I think, Earl, it's you know, there's a couple things you have to do. You know, number one, you got to get to that game, and so, you know, if we do, and certainly, you know, hope we do if we play well, then you really have to come up with a good game plan. You know, Sexton, you hit it right on the head. I mean, they're big, they're athletic, they have Division I athletes in their lineup. But, you know, the beautiful thing about any tournament, it's just one game. And so if you can game plan the right way, you know, come up with a good strategy and have your kids buy into it and believe in it, and then you never know what can happen. And I certainly know that our guys have that mindset, and you know, always look forward to that next challenge, whoever that opponent is. And so, you know, we look forward to it. And you know, we've played them the last 3 years and would love the opportunity to get a shot at them in that district final.
Now, you told me when we were talking on Tuesday night how your team makes adjustments. Coming into this game, coming up this week, what adjustments do you have to make defensively, and how good would you say your team is on the defensive end?
Yeah, I think that's really been our strength all year, Earl, is you know, I think we have some good offensive weapons, but on the defensive side, you know, we've been very solid. I think we're only giving up 43 or 44 points a game, which is you know, a little bit actually below the goal line that we set. So that's a positive thing. But you know, in terms of tonight's game, you know, again, it's just kind of modifying what we've been doing all season long. You know, we mix our defenses, you know, between zone and man and a few other things that we like to do, and you know, trying to perfect those and execute those the right way tonight is going to be our plan.
Now, what about on the offensive end? How do you execute, basically, how have you been executing all year long, and do you think that's an area where maybe the team has to do a little bit improving, or is it pretty good as it is?
Well, you know, I think as a coach, you're never satisfied. So I think that we can improve and become a little bit sharper on both sides of the basketball. But in terms of our offense, you know, we have good balance. You know, of course, we're led by Steve Repahowski, and he's having a wonderful year, and he scores the basketball very well. But we do have a good balance of an inside-out game, and Cooper Rush gives us a great presence inside. And you know, you combine that with a couple of good shooters and then just a natural score and Stevie, and that creates a pretty balanced attack for us, and really that's what we want to continue with. And you know, we just really try to get better on that side each and every game too, and you know, we measure that by, you know, the number of empty possessions that we don't have and you know, our shooting percentages, and we really take it, you know, we really analyze that after each and every ball game. And our kids have been doing a good job, but there's always room for some improvement there.
Well, I know one area where coaches are always looking for improvement is cutting down on turnovers. How has your team been with the turnover battle? And basically, what do you average on turning over each game, turnovers
a
game?
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's a great question. You're right, Earl. You know, you want them as a as a coach, you want to make sure that you maximize your offensive possessions, and that's something that, that we've done a good job with for most of the season. We're only averaging about 10 turnovers a game, and that's pretty good in the high school ranks. And about the last three or four, we've been in the single digits as far as turnovers goes, and that's the reason that, you know, we've scored 70 or 80 the last couple of games, just because we're maximizing those possessions.
And that's good. You've got a solid program and a solid team. Again, as you know, I've been watching you over the years, and you've done a great job year in and year out, Darren. Best of luck to this year's team. You've certainly got a very good one and a chance to challenge. When you get to the districts, no one knows how it's going to go, but at least you know you're going to be there, and you have a chance to beat whoever you face.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, Ron. I appreciate all the support that you provide us and coming out and taking in our games and really learning about our program, and I appreciate the kind words.
Okay, Coach. Hey, it's good to talk to you, and I'll be seeing you. As you know, I'll be seeing you again in the future here.
All right. Thanks a lot, Earl. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, thank you.
Right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's Coach Darren Zwick of the Lansing Catholic Central, and they've got a very good program. Have had one a very good program for years and years. And if you've followed them, or if you had kids going there, it's a very solid program. Very good kids, and Coach does a very good job of coaching the kids and getting them to play the way he wants them to play, and the way they like playing. And that's a key battle in coaching. If you can get the kids to play the way you want them to play, and they enjoy playing that way, it's always great. Unfortunately, sometimes the parents and what the parents want get in the way of what coaches want and what kids want. So that's, and he's sort of done a good job with that, and maybe getting the parents a little bit to set on the wayside. And sometimes that's hard. In some schools, it's very hard or very challenging to get the parents to get out of the way and let the coaches coach the kids, and the kids just enjoy the game. The time is 18 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. You're listening to Sports Talk 870 right here on WKAR. Remember, we come your way each and every day. That's Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us and call us up and talk with us each and every day right here on WKAR. Remember, we come your way from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. If you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up and talk sports right here on AM 870 WKAR. Coming up next, we're going to talk MSU basketball. We're going to do that. We're going to be talking about last night's game. Michigan State surprisingly beat Wisconsin thoroughly. I mean, it wasn't a surprise that they won, but it was a surprise on how much they dominated that team, beating them 69-55. A very impressive win for Michigan State over Wisconsin. I thought the game, as many people thought, the game would be a little bit closer. I thought it would be a lot closer game, and they went out and ran away from Wisconsin. They played another stellar defensive game. They played a really good defensive game, and offensively, they were right there. They were good offensively, solid defensively, and it was very hard to win for Wisconsin to even get into the game. They fell behind early, and they were always clawing to get back in the game. Just one of those things. And we'll talk more about that. We'll talk with Matt Charbonneau just in a couple of minutes. But stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Could the military become a major source of solar energy? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday as we talk about how military bases might serve as huge solar energy suppliers. Plus, should sugar be regulated like alcohol? That's all on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday coming up on Talk of the Nation at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. Here's the weather forecast going into the weekend for mid-Michigan. Partly sunny and breezy today. We're expecting a high of about 42 degrees. Cloudy with a chance of light snow tonight, lows in the 20s. On Saturday, cloudy and breezy and a chance of snow and a high around 40. And for Sunday, mostly sunny skies with highs in the lower 30s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk at Detroit.org. Now we're going to chat with Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News, talk about last night's game, and let's bring in Matt. Matt, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm good, Earl. How you doing?
Okay. Now, I was a little bit surprised at how easily they handled Wisconsin. Were you surprised at how easily they took them apart?
I was a little bit, only because, you know, Wisconsin typically is so good defensively.
Yes.
But, you know, when they had that 14-0 run there later in the second half and kind of started pulling away, it was really kind of impressive to see Michigan State pushing the tempo. I mean, I think that was a really good approach to a, you know, to kind of a team that in a half-court defense, you know, Wisconsin is as good as most teams you're going to see. And, you know, kind of pushing that tempo really got them kind of out of their rhythm a little bit. Bro Ryan talked about that, how, you know, they're not normally in that position. So I think that was, you know, really a pretty good strategy by Michigan State. They always try and push the ball. You know, that's nothing new. But I think it really paid dividends against Wisconsin. And then, obviously, Michigan State defensively was outstanding. I mean, that's some of the best defense we've seen this year. And Jordan Taylor, I mean, they just simply did not allow him to get in the lane. And, you know, that really, I mean, probably overall an entire game, that was one of the best performances I've seen from Michigan State probably in a couple of years.
Yes, I feel like that as well, Matt, because they really play well offensively, defensively, and their offense, the way they shot the ball, I mean, this was one of their better shooting games, shooting 52% from the field.
Yeah, and you know, Wisconsin hadn't given up, hadn't allowed a team to shoot better than 50% this year. Now, excuse me, a lot of that obviously comes from, you know, getting out on the break, getting a lot of easy shots, a lot of layups, but you know, I mean, Michigan State, to their credit, it's kind of interesting. You see how well they played, yet at the same time, they can still point to some things and say, we can get even better, which is really, I think, the even more impressive thing about this team this late in the season. Because, you know, think, I mean, five or six times they miss close range shots, whether it be Knicks or Payne or whoever. You know, so it's kind of funny. They played as well as they did, yet they could have even been that much better. I think that kind of showed last night, too, and it really kind of, it kind of makes you look forward to the rest of the season and how far this team really can go.
Yes, and now we're going to see them on the road. This is going to be a big test for them, going to Purdue, who took out Illinois the other night. So this is going to be a big swing game, and Minnesota's going to be a tough game. You know, and even though they played well at times on the road, and other teams, they made teams look bad coming in the Breslin Arena, it really will be interesting to see how they fare on the road this time around.
Yeah, and playing at Purdue is never easy. And just with everything that happened in that Purdue game last time, you know, there's probably not so too many great feelings between some of those guys right now. So that atmosphere in Purdue is probably going to be a little bit ramped up. Looks like Purdue might be without DJ Bird. We're waiting to see on that. So, you know, and Purdue at this point really is kind of playing for the NCAA tournament lives. So, I mean, you throw that all into the mix and – there's no gimme for Michigan State on Sunday. I mean, Purdue's still a pretty decent team. I think you throw all that rest of the stuff in the mix. If Michigan State can get past Purdue, you know, on the road, I tell you what, everything's kind of lining up for them at this point for that big kind of showdown at the end of the year with Ohio State. But I think this is a huge test, and getting past Purdue will be no easy task.
Yes, and if Travis Trice and, of course, Brandon Wood are both healthy, that's going to make them even just a lot tougher out, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Brandon Wood, he played last night. Give him credit, and Tom Izzo did, because he, you know, he played through some pain, some injury there with his shoulder. So he's only going to get better. Trice, I mean, we'll see. That's, you know, that was kind of a big deal last night. I thought it would hurt them a lot more. Brandon Kearney came in and just played outstanding defensively. You know, he did a great job on Taylor as well. So I think they really need to get Trice back. We'll see if he's going to be ready Sunday. You know, he was in a boot still yesterday, so maybe we'll get a better idea today after practice. But, you know, getting him back, I think, will be really big for them, because as well as Brandon Kearney has played defensively, I think Trice is you can bring him in and give Keith Appling a break. And, you know, Kearney at this point doesn't really handle the ball like Trice does, so yeah, they're really going to need to get him back, but at the same time, I don't think they push it with him. They might give him another game and just kind of take it slow and make sure they get him back 100%.
One thing to Tom's credit that over the years, Michigan State's been able to play several players at multiple positions, especially on the defensive end. It looks like they've got another team that's going to play, have several players playing at various positions with Kearney coming in. You've got Woods, who's becoming a better rebounder. You've got Dawson, who's a strong rebounder and defender, and also occasionally does pretty well on the offensive end. He's got a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things rather well, which is sort of a staple of Tom Izzo teams.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting how Brandon Wood came in with the scoring kind of reputation, and he's turned out to be a lot better defender than Tom Izzo ever thought. You know, the other thing he said last night, which was interesting, he even thought about at one point putting Brandon Dawson on Jordan Taylor.
And yeah.
Who would have thought that earlier in the season when Brandon Dawson, defense to him was kind of a rumor. And at this point, I mean, in the last 3 weeks, to see this kid defensively, the progress he's made, I think has been the most impressive thing. I mean, he's rebounding like crazy. He's attacking the basket, but defensively, he's a completely different player, and to go from where he was at the start of the year to possibly defending one of the better point guards in the country, I mean, I think that says so much about the kid's ability and what Tom Izzo gotten out of him. But you're right. I mean, you use all those guys. I mean, they're so versatile. I mean, there's really, I don't want to say there's no team they can't defend, but they're going to match up well with just about anybody.
Oh, that's for sure. And I got to tell you, Keith Appling, even though we knew he was good, he had a good year defensively last year, but he's so much better this year. And I'm just surprised at how much better he's gotten over the year.
Yeah, he really has. And I was wondering a little bit going into Ohio State with Aaron Kraft, and Kraft is so good on the ball, and he's hard to get past. But, and Keith struggled offensively, and I think maybe that overshadowed his defense a little that game. But I think you've seen that all year. This guy, I mean, defending on the ball, maybe Aaron Kraft is a tiny touch better than Appling, not a whole lot. But Keith last night, he really put it together in an overall game. I mean, he went from 7 turnovers to 2, scored 20 points. This is kind of more the Keith Appling we saw at the start of the Big Ten season. He went through a little bit of a lull there. If he can kind of get this back and back to where he was earlier in the year, I mean, it's just coming at the perfect time for these guys.
Yeah, so let me ask you the tough question, Matt. We've got when Michigan State faces Ohio State at the end of the year, can they play as good a defense as they've played all year long, or was that game, as a lot of Ohio State people are saying, just a bad shooting day? Can they do that again, the same kind of a game? And if they can play the same kind of way in the same kind of game, they'll probably beat Ohio State again. How would you see the second matchup being?
Well, that's easy to say that for the team that just lost and didn't make any shots. But, they had a few open looks late in that game, but it wasn't necessarily like they just had wide open looks all night and missed them all. Michigan State's defense had a heck of a lot to do with that. And not only so much their defense, but the overall tempo of the game. They pushed that tempo from the opening tip to the end. And that plays a big role when a team that's tired like that is trying to execute offensively down the stretch. They just didn't have any legs left. I mean, they don't go very deep. Michigan State knew that from the beginning and pushed them and pushed them and pushed them. So by the end of the game, I guess it's not a real surprise they weren't hitting any big shots. So, it's easy to kind of say that if they just make shots, they're going to win the next game. But I think Michigan State's proving every game out that defensively they're as good as anyone out there. And I think that plays a huge role. And they just match up so well with Ohio State. It being at home, at this point, if I had to pick right now, I'd say Michigan State wins again. I just think they match up so well with them, and they kind of have that formula that I think maybe more people will copy when playing Ohio State.
And, they eked out a win against Wisconsin when they beat them on the road, and then they almost put on a pretty big whipping here. They were such a dominant game, and, Wisconsin plays that outside-in game with their big guys, and they were able to overcome all of that and still play them and beat them better. Is this team... as we know, they're a lot smarter maybe than what we even gave them credit for, because they're playing a very smart and intelligent basketball, aside from just being a good-playing basketball team.
Yeah, they really are, and you're seeing it not just from Draymond Green or guys like that. There was at least a couple times yesterday. I remember, you know, I remember distinctly at one point late in the game, Brandon Dawson gets the ball, and instead of going in for a dunk or layup, he pulls up and lets the clock run, and Izzo smacks him on the behind because he's, you know, he's fired up that he notices that. There was a time earlier in the game when Russell Bird was in for a short time, and he passed up a three-pointer that everyone was screaming for him to shoot, yet he worked it inside on the post, and Izzo was fired up about that. So I think you're seeing all these guys buying into the system that Tom Izzo wants them to run. You know, it's obviously easier to do that when you're winning games, but I think it goes hand in hand. I mean, these guys are running it exactly how he wants, and they're seeing the results. So at this point, there's really, you know, they don't have that thought in their head, we should do it differently because things aren't going well. I mean, these guys are winning, the system's working. You know, I don't see a whole lot of deviation from it at this point.
Yes, and you're right. It's been a very good system that they're running, and they're playing well within the system. You know, like you say, all the guys on this team have bought in this year. You know, we don't have the distractions that we saw last year. We've got teams; everyone has bought in, and the fact that you're right, they're winning so much that makes even everyone believe that they can do even more so.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, too, let's remember back to the start of the year. They lost the first two games, yet I think these guys still saw, and I know Tom Izzo saw even back then, that this team was shaping up to be something a little bit better than usual. And it's, you know, it's so easy to say the chemistry is so much better, but it's hard to really put a finger on how important that is. But I think when you just simply look at last year's team compared to this year's team, I at this point, I would take a team with good chemistry over a team with ridiculous talent almost any day of the week, because I don't think there's any doubt last year's team had talent, but this team plays together, plays for each other, and they might lack in a few spots or lack experience in a few spots, but to see the way they play together and as a team, this is the kind of the perfect team to put out there as to why teamwork and chemistry kind of is as big as anything.
When you look at this Big Ten in the race, how many teams do you see getting into the tournament at this point?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we're going to see in the next week or two here how it plays out. But I got to think at least seven, maybe eight at this point. I mean, I think Purdue's done a lot in the last week or so to kind of get themselves a little bit off of that bubble. We'll see what happens. I mean, a win for them Sunday, I think, would be huge for them and pretty much – you know, put them in a pretty good spot to make sure they get in. Northwestern's kind of that question mark out there. I mean, obviously they've never made it. There's going to be a lot of sympathy vote for them to make it, you know, but they've got to win some games on the stretch, and that's been a problem for them in the past. So in Illinois, I mean, Illinois is such a question mark now. I know Bruce Weber's under a lot of pressure there, but when you look at it, I mean, they still got some quality wins. They've beaten Michigan State. They've beaten Gonzaga. They've beaten Ohio State. I mean, to me, that's still a resume of an NCAA tournament team. So I think when it's all said and done, you at least seven, probably eight, in my opinion.
How impressed are you on the Indiana turnaround? Tom Crean has finally got a team that he wants that's playing the way he wants as well. And for them, this has been a big turnaround year.
It has, and I know a lot of people are disappointed. You know, obviously they started out so great, and they've kind of come back to the pack a little bit, but I mean, let's just think about where they've come from, you know, in a pretty short amount of time. You know, it's been pretty impressive. I don't think anyone's ever doubted Tom Crean as a coach. Obviously, he's recruited some talent there, and there's a place for Indiana. They've been patient and given them the time to get his players in there and kind of work his system in there, and I think you're seeing that pay off now, and I think it's been pretty impressive because I thought they were still probably a year away from being really good. So, you know, we'll see how they finish down the stretch. I think they'll do all right. You know, they'll be they'll get a fairly decent seed in the NCAA tournament, like a 5 or something like that. So I think that's a huge step for them, especially with the talent they're going to be having here in the next year or two. So I think they're absolutely on the right path, and it's good to see for Tom Crean.
You know that they've been talking – they've almost – we seem like everyone we know in the business is about ready to give Trey Burke the award for Freshman of the Year. But Cody Zeller's been coming out, and some people are starting to talk about him. Could Cody Zeller take that Freshman of the Year award away from Burke?
Could he? In my opinion, he absolutely should. And I'm not trying to discount, you know, what Trey Burke has done. But I just think the overall impact the guy's had on a team, in my opinion, it's not really even close. I give it to Cody Zeller every day of the week. I mean, I think Trey Burke's done pretty well. You know, however, I see some, you know, there's some instances, I think, where maybe his effect on the team hasn't been as great. I think Tim Hardaway has maybe suffered a little bit with Trey Burke out there. There's sometimes Burke gets caught in the lane and doesn't see you guys as well as maybe Darius Morris did. And, you know, I don't think that's going to be a problem for his whole career, and he is still a freshman. So I'm not trying to discount what he's done. I just think Cody Zeller has made such a big difference on that Indiana team. I would give it to him hands down at this point.
Okay. Now, when we look at these, you know, of course, the other big battle for Player of the Year between Draymond Green and Sullinger, and how do you see that playing out? I sort of look at like, I don't want to be a homer, but it does look to me like it probably should go to Green just because he stayed healthy for the most part and played most of the year.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to hear anybody complain if it goes to Draymond Green. I mean, that'd be kind of hard to do. To me, this one is really, really kind of a toss-up at this point. Yeah, obviously the vote for us would want to be Draymond Green and everything he's done for this program. And I think the thing that's hard for maybe some people outside to see when they're voting on that is to see that stuff off the court and to see everything else he does for this team. I mean, it's hard to quantify what he's meant to them without just looking at points and rebounds and assists, but I mean, just to see what he's done with this team in this year in terms of leadership and bringing these guys together. And then, of course, on the court, he's just been unbelievable. As Izzo said last night, just another night at the office for him. And I think it's his consistency and his every night out kind of producing that really impresses me the most. And, you know, obviously right now I'd give it to him, but, you know, Sullinger's still a heck of a player. It'd be hard to argue with him getting it as well, so. That's going to be a toss. That was going to go right down to the wire, and it'll be interesting to see who gets it.
Yes, I tell you, what impresses me so much about Draymond that we've seen all year long, he's been such a good rebounder this year. I mean, the other guys are okay, but he's been a standout rebounder each and every game for Michigan State.
Yeah, and for a guy who's 6'7 on his best
yes.
day, I mean, it's really amazing how he's always in the right position to get the rebound, and he's talked about that too. It's not always necessarily about being bigger and necessarily being stronger. It's understanding angles and where anticipating where that ball's coming off and, you know, blocking out properly. I mean, how many times do we see him grabbing the rebounds amidst guys that are bigger than him? I mean, it's really one of those skills that you just kind of have that innate ability to understand where the ball's coming, and he has it. That's the kind of skill that's going to take him to the next level, I think. You know, you're going to say maybe he's not big enough, but, you know, whether the size says it or not, the guy's grabbing rebounds. You really can't deny that.
Yes, I'm still wondering whether he can make it at the next level. I mean, he's a very good player, but it's just like, you know, to make it at the next level, you got to do one thing really exceptional, and it looks like that rebounding is starting to become the one thing that he really needs to hang his hat on to be exceptional. Will help him be a strong player at the next level. But I don't know. You think he needs to do more than just be a good rebounder, or can he get to the next level just by being a good rebounder and an average so-so scorer and everything like that?
Well, I think he can make it. You know, I've heard a little feedback from a few NBA scouts that obviously love the guy, you know, kind of his word I'm looking for, just his approach to the game and his attitude. And, you know, it's hard to really teach those kind of things. Obviously, his rebounding is his big plus. But, you know, they've also talked a lot about how he's worked so hard to improve his offensive game, to improve his, you know, his defense and trying to set perimeter guys. You know, he's still not quite there yet. But he's made a ton of progress in the last 4 years. And I think scouts see that, and they see that as something they can keep building on. Yeah, he doesn't have the perfect size. You know, he's kind of in between. You know, he might not have a perfect jump shot or be the greatest post guy. But I tell you what, the guy works as hard as anybody. And you throw in that rebounding, just his whole attitude and approach to the game. There's NBA scouts out there that like that. And whether he makes it, who knows? But I certainly think he's going to get a shot to make it.
Okay. Hey, Matt, it's always a pleasure talking with you and chatting about the last night's game and sort of looking ahead to the rest of the season, because they certainly got some challenges up ahead. That's one thing we can say. You know, Sports Illustrated just came out with the article about the Big Ten being the strongest conference in the country. A lot of us agreed to it, even though we know there's still some people who don't think the Big Ten is the best conference. They still, you know, we've got some diehard ACC fans around here.
Yeah, well, they all look at the 42-41 games and think that means, you know, automatically your conference isn't any good. But, You know, if they were seeing this night in and night out, they would under. I don't think it's even close at this point that the Big Ten's the best conference, in my opinion.
Okay. Hey, Matt, it's always good talking with you, my friend, and I'll probably see you at practice tonight.
You got it, Earl.
Okay. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Yep. Bye-bye. Bye. And that's Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Did you know that Thomas Edison once owned the largest cement plant in the world? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at the story of concrete and its famous cast of characters. Plus, after more than 30 years, the first regulatory approval to build nuclear reactors in the U.S. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday on Talk of the Nation, coming up here today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Good afternoon. Here's a look at the weather forecast going into the weekend. It'll be partly sunny and breezy today with a high around 42. Cloudy with a chance of light snow tonight, lows in the 20s. A cloudy and breezy day on Saturday with a chance of snow and a high around 40 degrees. And for Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the lower 30s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's continue talking a little bit more about last night's game. And we had a chance to chat with Bo Ryan after the game, and he talked about MSU's offense.
Well, some of the stuff in transition. You know, we weren't set defensively. And I think that has something to do with it. But not everything. They got some stuff around the basket. I thought we could have had our hands on a few more of those balls that were tipped, that are loose balls. Every time a shot's taken, it's a potential loose ball, and we needed to get some more of those. So when they're point blank like that, that's a pretty high percentage. And then again, you're digging from behind. You extend your defense a little bit. Michigan State's much more athletic that way than us, so. You know, you try to keep it to where you don't have to get that far extended. When you get extended, then you're opening up some driving lines.
And we also talked about, with Tom Izzo, about the Spartans' offense.
Well, number one, Appling. You know, I thought he pushed the ball, got some easy buckets in there. Number two, we thought the screen and rolls, pick and rolls. You know, Day-Day did a nice job on a couple of them. We hit Knicks, we hit Payne, we hit Day-Day, we hit some kickouts. And we didn't turn the ball over much. You know, I think those were the big keys to that. But that's impressive because Wisconsin is about as good a defensive team year in, year out as anybody in the country. And to shoot 52% was fortunate, good, and I think we did it the right way.
And Tom also went on to talk about how the game went overall.
You know, and it started with the start, with Austin Thornton hitting the first three shots he took. That was big. I thought the job Keith Appling did was phenomenal. I was impressed with Brandon Dawson. I thought, Day-Day is just another day at the office for him. And, you know, we had a couple other guys that that I thought gave us something, you know. Dawson did give us something in that stretch. Kearney was unbelievable. You know, when we got up this morning, Wood wasn't going to play, and we knew Trice wasn't going to play. And give Wood a little credit, you know. I told him he can change his ways and, keep getting tougher. You play with injuries, and he did that. So, you know, got Russell Bird and Alex Gahn a little bit of time. I wish you could have got him a little bit more. But the job we did defensively before the half, and the fact we kept running the ball, which they're a hard team to run against, Appling did a hell of a job of pushing it. We didn't turn the ball over a lot, and we didn't foul too much. And those were our keys to the game. And I thought, you know, we executed them and beat a very, very good team who was hot, won 7 out of 8. And what can I say? Our guys deserve all the credit. You know, the only negatives were a little stretch at the end, and our rebounding wasn't what it's supposed to be. Day-Day's getting his, but we got to get Nixon Payne getting a little more of theirs.
And we also had a chance to talk with Draymond Green after the game, and he talked about one thing that Michigan State has really done and worked on a lot is finishing the game, especially those close-in buckets.
You know, one thing we've really been talking about and we've been doing a lot of is finishing in practice. We hadn't been finishing very well in close-in. You know, we really knew that, you know, Wisconsin are going to hit you down low. You know, sometimes they're going to hit you up high. We knew we had to finish some baskets. And, you know, it was great to see guys finishing the way we did tonight.
And that's some of the folks on last night's game, both coaches and Draymond, as we heard from them, and Matt Charbonneau talked about last night's game. An impressive win over Wisconsin, Michigan State beating Wisconsin twice in the same year. Doesn't happen very often that they beat them two times in a year, but this is that year. And now I'm starting to change, in all honesty, I'm starting to change my thing on when they get to the tournament. This team could make a good tournament run. I was always thinking with this team, and especially the last couple, most since the season began, they could get to the round of 16. Well, now I'm thinking they might even go a little further than the round of 16. I don't know how much further, but I think they could go further. But then again, you know, when you look at this team and all the other teams, they've just got a good chance because there are a lot of good basketball teams out there this year. There isn't any really great basketball teams, just a lot of good teams. So, you know, on the right diet and how things fall, they could go a lot further. But again, just because there are so many good teams, I would not be at all be surprised if they got beaten the first round. It's just a good year for basketball this year. And if you're a basketball fan, you're seeing a lot of good teams out there this year. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Dave on the line in Arizona. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, Earl, how you doing, man?
Okay.
Very good. Well, let me try to give you an outside opinion on this question of the Big Ten MVP, because I'm obviously not either a fan of Michigan State or Ohio State. But I really thought, even before Michigan State won in Columbus, that Draymond Green should be the Big Ten Player of the Year. It's not just the way he's played, but the fact that he doesn't have nearly the supporting cast that Sullinger has. So he has to pretty much carry his team on a lot of nights, wouldn't you say?
Oh, that's true. He does. He doesn't have the cast of the Sullinger. He's got, you know, Ohio State's just really a strong, strong team.
They are. At least they're starting five.
Yes. Oh no! And he only plays seven deep for the most part. So you got to try to wear him down. And a lot of times people try to wear him down, but they really can't wear them down. But every now and then you can get to him.
Yeah, that's true. Now, if you ask me, I would say the third best player in the Big Ten after Green and Sullinger is John Scherner from Northwestern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
solid. A great player.
He is. He's been very solid all year long.
Now, I don't know who the fourth and fifth best players are. That's really a tough question. I'd have to do a lot more research. Just like that question about who should be freshman of the year, I haven't studied, especially Zeller and how consistent he's been, so I can't give you a good opinion right now on that one. But I will say this, you know, as a Michigan fan, this has been a tremendous year. I mean, if you want to include both football and basketball, look at it that way. After what Michigan's been through over the years, you know, to come back and be this strong in both of those major sports and not have lost a home game all year at this point in either sport, you know, not to mention the fact that this is going to be the first time since 1998 that Michigan goes into Selection Sunday knowing that they're in the tournament, not have to worry about being on the bubble or anything.
No, that's true. It's no doubt been an outstanding year for Michigan for football and basketball. And yes, this is going to be the first. Like you say, it is going to be the first time we'll know already that just it's going to be where they go. You know, we always think about seed, but, you know, you don't think whether it's 3, 4, 5 or wherever it'll be, you know, they'll have a decent seed and, you know, they're going to just play a good team because there's so many. This year, we might, and that's the thing we've been talking about. There might be, like Matt just said, there could be seven to eight teams from the Big Ten this year, and that would be phenomenal.
Earl, you know, Jerry Palm, I think as recently as this past week, had 9 Big Ten teams in the tournament, and that could be realistic, although I'd say 3 of them are really hanging by a thread, and that's Northwestern, Illinois, and Minnesota.
Yes, I agree with that. There could be, but, you know, There are so many good teams. And the main thing is a lot of the other leagues just don't have that many good teams in their leagues this year. Like we saw, what, last year we saw the Big East, what, got 12 or 13 teams in last year? I think 12 last year. They're not going to have that this year. And a lot of this is one of those years where you know, the Big Ten might be able to get nine teams in.
Right. But Earl, how about this for an example? The Pac-12, people are talking, they could be, believe it or not, a one-bid conference, which would be amazing.
It would be.
I mean, they have no good non-conference wins in the entire conference this year. And they could get two teams or even three at the most, but a lot of people are thinking even possibly just one. So that tells you there's bids to be had. And like you say, the Big East is still good, but they're not going to be quite as good. They won't get quite the numbers that they got last year.
No, they were really outstanding last year. So this year they're just going to be maybe back to what they should be. They're just a good conference. And this year it's like the Big Ten is really stepping up this year.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward, you know, at least with my heart and maybe somewhat with my head as well. I think Michigan can upset Ohio State tomorrow night. And if they do, they are right in the race.
Yes, they can. Yeah. They're good enough to do it at home. Everybody's so tough at home in this conference. It's just hard to get. If you win a road game, boy, you almost should count that as two games this year in the Big Ten. It's just hard to win on the road. So I give Michigan a good chance to beat Ohio State. If Ohio State is an exceptional team, they can go into Michigan and get a win. But that will be determined tomorrow night.
I'll be watching, Earl.
Okay.
I'm sure you will, too.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
All right.
See you then, Dave. Yep, bye-bye.
Yep.
Bye-bye. And that's our good friend Dave out there in Arizona, where it's nice and warm. And some of the guys like to call me and tell me how warm it is. And, you know, that's been okay this year. We get some of the calls and from out in Florida sometime. Some of our good friends will call us and tell us how warm it is down in Florida. And sort of I've been telling them back this year, it's been pretty good this year. We've had probably the best winter we've had here in Michigan for a long, long time. That's for sure. Hey, you can give us a call. Talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. And so, Aaron, were you impressed with the game last night? How did you see that Michigan State game and that win last night?
Obviously a good win for them, and I was somewhat surprised by the domination. Of course, they let them come back in that game a little bit
because
it was about a 20-point game, and then Wisconsin was able to cut it to, I think the lowest they got was about 9 points within about 3 minutes or so, so it got a little nerve-wracking. But, yeah, very good win. Michigan State always seems to do this where they peak at the right time of the season, and they play their best ball when they need to, which is towards the end of the season, into the Big Ten tournament, into the NCAA tournament. And it's always they're always a team you don't want to bet against in the NCAA tournament. So I certainly think they could make a run in March, and but like you said, it's one of those situations where they could make a run or they could get upset. I mean, we've seen so much parity in the tournament,
Yes. And
there's just no telling. But
May be more parity this year than it has been in many past years. Because boy, you look across the board and all the teams, they're just a lot of very good teams this year.
And there's a lot of good mid-major teams too. Mm-hmm. You got Murray State, St. Mary's, Harvard's doing pretty well. So you have a lot of these teams that you would normally think would be, you know, not too difficult to tournament games that are going to be pretty difficult matchups if you end up facing them. Especially, you know, you're in an interesting situation with a Murray State or a St. Mary's where it's, you know, where do you seed them? Murray State with only one loss on the season, you know, it's going to be tough to seed them anywhere over, you know, five or six, but they're a team that could certainly upset anybody any given night.
Yes, I would say you might seat them between three and five because they've had such an outstanding year. And, with me, I'm still hoping, I'm pulling for the underdog. I'm hoping that the Wildcats get in this year. I just want to see Northwestern just get in the tournament one time. And this would be great for that school to finally get into the tournament after all these years, have never been in. I'm still pulling for Northwestern. Maybe they can get a squeeze a couple of more wins out. If they get two or three more wins, then I think they'll be in if they can do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And the Big Ten could get, you know, eight, maybe nine teams. Again, a lot of it happens. The mid-majors, if there's an upset in the conference tournament in the mid-majors, that really shakes things up, because if you've got a team who would have been an at-large bid, they lose the conference tournament, you get two from that conference. So that'll kind of determine how many teams the Big Ten can squeeze in there. But, yeah, I'd like to see Northwestern. I have my roommate's from Chicago. He doesn't want to see Northwestern. He doesn't like Northwestern. I was telling him last night, I want to see Northwestern. He said, I don't want to. But, you know, I'm like, how can you hate Northwestern?
Yeah.
You can't hate Northwestern.
No, they're just a good team, a good football. They've got good, solid sports program. Yes, they may not have a really great sports program, but they've always been good and solid. And, you know, and they know, we know for sure, this kids who are in their programs are good students.
Absolutely. And they're always the kind of teams that play with so much passion and so much heart. You know, it's not like, you know, they're obviously not winning all the time. So you always see these kids playing really hard with a lot of passion, and they're always fun to watch.
Yes, they are. Give us a call. Talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, we haven't had a chance to mention the women's game. They beat Wisconsin last night in Wisconsin. So that was a big win for the Michigan State women's team.
And a much-needed victory, too. They've been struggling. They've kind of had their season's kind of been defined sort of by these winning streaks, these losing streaks, these kind of streaky teams. They've got a game coming up. I think they play Nebraska this week at home. So that'll be a good game for them. You know, they've got a lot of talent on that team. A good road win for them. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
Yes, and Michigan State's going to have Nebraska coming up. That's going to be the next to the last home game, of course, with Ohio State getting the last home games. But, boy, that's really been a break for Michigan State. They get to go against probably the worst Big Ten team. Their welcome to the Big Ten has been hasn't been a surprise to people who follow basketball. Everyone knew that they were going to have a trouble playing in the Big Ten, but I don't think maybe Wisconsin probably thought it would be as bad as it has been.
Yeah, yeah, it's been rough.
Yeah, and that's putting it nicely.
Yeah.
But hopefully for the women, they can do. I always think, you know, because when I look at the women, I sometimes think they're doing a lot better than what they are. I just think that this team can do something in the Big Ten tournament when it comes around. But, you know, even though they're a little bit lower than what I thought and a lot of people thought they were going to be, this team is still, it's a good team. Maybe not as good as team we thought would be at the beginning of the season, but it still looks like this is a good team. They could do well in the tournament.
Absolutely. You know, it's the team has, in a lot of ways, been, as Portia Poole goes, so does the team. You know, when she scores, when she lights it up, when she scores in double figures, they have a very high percentage of winning. And as long as LaKendra Johnson's there to clean up some boards and rebound a little bit and play defense, which is what she does best, this is a very good team. There's a lot of young talent on this team, and a lot of that young talent does see playing time. And especially with the injury of Madison Williams. So it's only going to, you know, it's got a bright future. But, yeah, if Portia Poole can score consistently, and if LaKendra Johnson can play good defense consistently and score some points, she kind of broke out as an offensive performer last year. It is a team that could make a run in the Big Ten tournament, absolutely.
So we're not too far off from thinking that this team is maybe better than what they performed and could do some damage in the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the team. I think a lot of the issues has been they have the talent. A lot of it's just been some discipline, just some discipline things throughout the season. Silly turnovers in a lot of these games that they try to have to iron out. Just not taking shots. You know, a lot of it's shot selection, and that's really what it is. In a lot of the game of basketball, you have to take good shots. If you take good shots, they'll fall. But if you take ones that aren't open, that aren't good looks, you know, your percentage is going to go way down.
That's for sure. Well, hey, I know I got to let the folks know that Tim Stout and I will be the show will be coming on Sunday, 11 o'clock. So tune in on Sunday at Channel 10, 11 o'clock for Tim Stout and yours truly as the Sunday Stout on Sports will come. And you can see Tim and I, and we'll review all the things that have been going on this week here in the Mid-Michigan area. We'll have that Michigan State Wisconsin game on. We'll have the Michigan State women game on from the past week. So we're going to have a lot of things for you coming up on the Sunday Stout on Sports. I want to thank you all for listening and thank you for calling all this week. And we invite you to come back and join us next week right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller and join us on Monday right here on WKAR. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. We'll see you here on Monday right here on WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.